In my intro, I talk about how I have skin knees, grass in my teeth, and sticks in my hair as I have fallen down the hill of, or the mountain of accomplishment, meaning success, I guess, right? And so I want to talk about that a little bit more today. Hi, I'm Wendy Bergen. I'm just a regular mom with a husband, a bunch of kids, and some dogs, and I'm the founder of Joyfully Prepared, a business dedicated to teaching busy moms skills like gardening, food preservation, natural remedies, and more, so they can take care of themselves through developing talents, supporting their families with confidence, and saving money. I've rolled down the mountain of accomplishment so many times that I have skin knees, grass in my teeth, and sticks in my hair. All of these mistakes have actually allowed me to become more confident in my knowledge and skills. I'm eager to learn and strive to create a space where people want to learn. Oh, I'm not perfect. In fact, someone once described me as the queen of preparedness, but normal, without scaring people. Whether it's canning, gardening, emergency preparedness, or anything else, I teach others to feel confident in learning it. Hi, this is the Joyfully Prepared podcast, and I am your host, Wendy Bergen, and I'm extremely grateful that you are listening. I hope you'll enjoy this this conversation with myself. So, what is your definition of adventure? I love adventure. I really do. I'm not really adventurous as far as I need to climb a mountain adventurous, even though if I was in good shape, probably I might want to do that because it's something different, something new. Well, for me, my definition is that going a different direction, not out of disobedience, but as a way to have a different experience. When I was a missionary serving in Finland, we had an appointment at a apartment building, and the apartment building had a courtyard. And the night before we were there, we were inside the apartment that we were going to was inside that courtyard, like along the edge. And the person that was supposed to be there wasn't there. And so we were getting ready to leave. And I looked out and I saw that it had snowed the night before. And there was not a single footprint, not a little bird, nothing. This was a perfect courtyard full of snow, of perfect snow, I should say. And I'm like, we've got to do this. We have got to be the first ones to step into that snow. And it was still kind of early in the morning. It was cold. It was winter in Finland, which is really cold. And my companions were like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. And I thought, I'm like, come on, let's go do this thing. They're like, no, this is not exciting. This is not anything we want to do. So I kind of tromped around in the snow a little bit. And I said, go out there, walk in the snow. And they're like, no. And I finally said, it's an adventure, sister. To them, go out there and do this. And so finally they agreed. And I said, let me take your picture. And I have this photo. And they tromped out to the snow. And then they were just standing there like, good gosh, barely humoring me at this point. And I said, smile. Because there was just no smile on their face. They were unhappy human beings. And I said, you need to smile. So they plastered the smile on their face, their smiles on their faces. And I took a photo, and the minute it was over, they were done. They just no more smiles, and they walked off out of the snow. And that was it. So I have this photo of these two young women with these fake smiles on their faces, standing in snow. But every time I see that photo, every single time I run across that photo, I can vividly remember everything that happened and the words, it's an adventure, sister. So I looked at the definition of adventure, and it was, you know, whatever. But what I liked was the where the origin of the word. And I probably will pronounce things incorrectly, but I will explain, do my best. So comes from the Latin word adventurous, meaning about to happen, and another word, Latin word advenir, meaning to arrive. And so I was thinking, that is such a cool way to think about adventure. It's the title of the podcast episode, actually. It's the joy in the journey, regardless of if it's a vacation, if it's something you're learning, whatever it may be. It's the journey to about to happen. Like, meaning you're never quite arriving. I mean, you do when you're literally taking a trip or whatever. So let me give you some examples right quick. Let's do a literal trip. Let's talk about taking a trip to Italy. For me to go to Italy, I would have to get in a car, go to the airport, fly to Italy, and catch a taxi to take me. I'm going to go to Rome and take me to Rome, because the Rome airport is quite a bit outside of Rome. So you have to take, it's about an hour journey, I believe, if I remember correctly. So we had to take a taxi, is what we chose to do. So I did that. And then I'm arrived in Italy. Ta-da! I'm there. It happened, the thing. But what about the journey? What about the trip, the literal trip to Rome, to Italy? What did I notice? Did I notice anything? Like, was there any joy in this journey at all? And that's the question is, can you find joy as you're journeying, as you're adventuring, as it's about to happen, as it's arriving? That's the question. That's what's exciting. As I go along, do I see people that are interesting? Do I talk to anybody? Do I eat something that's cool? Do I smell something? Maybe that's not cool. I don't know. You know, gadgets, what people do. We people watch all the time, don't we? That's part of the journey. That's part of this, you know, adventure that we're living. Okay, so that's like a literal trip, the journey to Italy, right? So that's just kind of an outline of the journey, the car, the plane, the taxi, that type of thing. Now, what about the adventure of gardening? What about that? Is that an adventure? Absolutely. At the end, what you're hoping and expecting and hoping to create is a little fruit, whether it's a little pepper or a big pepper, some strawberries, growing bok choy right now. So there's not really fruit. It just keeps getting bigger and eventually I'll eat it. Herbs that you can eat, lettuce, all the things that you garden, right? You're journeying until you can eat that thing, whether it's the fruit or the leaves, whatever it is supposed to produce. So along the way, you're going to have this journey, because it's not going to produce fruit just because you put it in some soil and you gave it a little sprinkle of water and tomorrow all of a sudden the fruit is there. I don't think this is a Jack and the Beanstalk situation for us. So you're going to have a little journey. You're going to have an adventure in gardening. That's so fun if you think about it. And it doesn't have to be a big giant garden. In fact, if you go over to my website, joyfullyprepared.com, and you click on the word shop, you can actually buy my garden container gardening course. And you begin your journey just like that. So you start with a little pot. In fact, I just did an episode about container gardening. I think it was episode 59 on container gardening. You can go back and look at that. So put a little plant in a pot, put it in your windowsill, grow that little honey, and it'll grow. Put it, especially herbs, just put herbs in the windowsill. and you can clip off a leaf here and a leaf there, and you're learning something. You're having a joyful journey. Then what happened? So I've mentioned this before. Since I've moved to Florida, I have now brought two dill, D-I-L-L, plants into my house. It is as if my house is poisoned to dill. I do not know why. I have never had a problem growing dill in New Jersey, not a bit. But in Florida so far, dill refuses to live. Like, no, not her. No, I cannot do this. And it gives up the ghost immediately. It will not make it. And I haven't figured it out why. Haven't figured out why yet. I've got to keep trying. And I will keep trying to figure out the dill mystery. But that's part of my journey. That's part of the way it works. I talk about three lessons that I learned while gardening. That was back like episode in the 20s about the moringa tree and how it died two times before I was able to help it live. And I figured out how to cultivate it, and it's out in my front yard doing what it's supposed to be doing right now. So I had this journey. I had to learn how, and over the course of my self-reliance journey, I keep using the word journey. Is there another word? If there is, please let me know. I do not have a thesaurus available at the moment. I had to learn how to enjoy the fun of failure. Now that sounds just silly, doesn't it? To enjoy the fun of failure. Why is failing fun? Well, because you learn so much. You learn so much. I learned how to help that little moringa tree, have hope for it, water it till it came back to life and stayed alive for the third time. Hallelujah. The swamp drawer, where all good produce goes to die. Dun, dun, dun. We couldn't afford it even when there weren't food shortages. We certainly can't afford it now. Recession-proof your grocery budget. Learn to grow the food your family eats without the weeds or the waste. For more information about my simple and easy container gardening course, where you will learn to save money by growing your own healthy organic fruits and vegetables, go to joyfulprepcontainergarden.com. So let me tell you this story. I teach in New Jersey, and I've started here again in Florida. I used to teach in New Jersey. I taught this class called a PENT class, P-E-N-T, which stands for Prepare Every Needful Thing. And I taught all sorts of stuff. I taught gardening, natural remedies, food storage, canning, goat husbandry. I brought my goats in so people could milk them. We did how to raise chickens, how to do pork belly, water store, just so many things. And this one time I wanted to learn myself because I didn't know how. I was going to teach a lesson on sourdough bread making, and I had never done it, but thankfully God's given me the gift to learn self-reliance skills pretty quickly, usually until the sourdough bread class came up. So I began to prepare to learn how to create sourdough bread. I started at least three weeks before the class learning how to do this. I joined a Facebook group, and this was before the shutdowns and the pandemic. So where everybody learned how to make sourdough bread. That was one of the better things that came out of the pandemic. This was years and years before that. So I was on a Facebook group. I read books. I bought books. I read websites. I could not get my sourdough starter to start. I could get it started, but I wasn't sure exactly what I was looking for either, because I didn't know anybody who could help me. I think this is back like 2017, maybe 15, somewhere in there. I didn't know who to actually turn to. I asked questions on Facebook. I did my best. And then I even bought this very, very expensive bread dough proofer. It's the special little heating box. Like it actually collapses and then it can set up to be this box, and it's an electric heating warming box for proofing bread. I even bought that because this is what you need. It was like $100 back then. That was a lot of money. It's a lot of money today for a hot box. So I bought that. Anything I could think of to help myself. Well, let's see. I think I taught them on Wednesdays or Thursdays, whatever the day before. I had no bread. I had no dough. Like I had a starter and I think it was doing what it was supposed to do, but I had no way of creating this class that was happening the next day in the evening. I had less than 24 hours. And the thought came to me, why don't you see if there's a sourdough bakery near you and just go buy the bread? Now, I would tell people that I had bought it. I'm not deceptive that way, but I couldn't make bread. So I can't remember all the different ways I had tried this, that, different flours, different waters, all the different things. So I went to this bakery over in Philadelphia, kind of Southwest Philly, I think. And I had emailed him the night before and he responded, yeah, come on over. He was so nice to me. He was like this little mentor it was like a 1 hour mentor for me. And he brought me in and I said, this is what I'm doing. He's like, oh yeah, no problem. And he obviously had tons of bread and I brought loaves of bread, but he brought me into the back of his bakery and he showed me his sourdough starter. Oh my gosh. That was so cool. So it's this huge, giant tub. I don't remember what it was exactly. I can't exactly remember what it looked like, but it was so active. It was literally popping, bursting out of itself, you know, because when you have all the gas from the sourdough starter, it pops because that's what rises the bread. And it was just bursting. It was so active, like a little hot pot. If you've ever been to Yellowstone Park, you can go see those, the hot pots, the paint pots where they're bubbling. That's what his sourdough starter looked like. And there he taught me what I was looking for just by showing me his starter and then explaining to me what I needed to do. And then he gave me the little baskets. I can't remember what they're called, but these little baskets that you rise the bread in and that makes the pretty swirly on the top. And so I left. He said, here, let me give you some of my starter. And he gave me some of his starter. He taught me about sourdough bread, taught me about the starter and how every starter, every loaf of bread is going to have a different taste based on the environment it's made in, the air quality, the water, all of the different things. That's why in San Francisco, you get this real kind of tart, sour bread. Whereas in other places in the world, in your own home, it may not be quite as sour because the air quality, the water doesn't contribute to that. And he was teaching me all about that. And so when you take a sourdough starter, when I took my sourdough starter from him home from Southwest Philly to South Jersey, over time, my starter changed and it didn't taste like his bread from Philadelphia. So I have my class and I was able to get this starter he gave me to bubble. And I didn't have enough time to make actual bread, but I could see what I was doing wrong with my other one. And I was able to over time get that one up and popping as well. But I went to my class and I brought my hot box. I brought the starter that he had given me to show them what it looks like. I brought them my failed starter. I brought them the loaves of bread and sliced them up. And I had brought homemade jelly with me. And I told them about all my failures for the last 3 weeks. And they laughed with me. And they were just like, and I just shared everything with them about what a hot mess this whole thing turned out to be. And they heard from me the enjoyment I had of the journey, of the failure. And now I can do this. And now I have the skill to produce sourdough. I know what not to do because of all my failures. Same thing goes with gardening. Same thing goes with anything we do. We know what not to do. And we can enjoy the failures. We don't want to crush ourselves because we failed. And at the end of the class, I had a lot of people come. And at the end of the class, I had more than one person come up and say to me, "This was the very best class you have ever taught because you showed us all the ways to fail." Isn't that funny? This was the best class, and I was on the verge of failure for the class until I had this thought. I think, well, I know it came from God, to go find a mentor and help me out. And it worked out perfectly. So as much as I was frustrated and I was, at the time, I was not enjoying the journey, by the way. I didn't know I was supposed to be enjoying that journey. I knew I had to deliver a product, a class at the end of this, at this deadline. And I didn't have a way to do that. And so I was not enjoying the journey. But looking back, I can see why all the failures worked so well for me at the end of the day. So I think it's fun. I think too that the more we can accept that maybe our expectations are not going to be met and let them go, then we can start seeing the failure for what it is, for an opportunity to learn, for an opportunity to look for joy, for an opportunity to increase, to bring others along with us, to share, to be humble, to just recognize that we're human beings and it's okay. It's okay. What we're doing is okay. We're doing good things. We're learning good things. I still haven't figured out to keep a dill plant alive on my property. Not yet. It will happen though. I will return and report once this dill puts off seed one day. So I encourage you to take a minute. If you're struggling with something, if something's not going just right for you, if you feel like you're busting up against a lot of failure or what you consider to be failure, take a big breath, just a nice deep breath. Hold it, release it. Oof, maybe you need a little rest. Maybe you need to take a step aside. When I was a piano major in college, and I had to learn very difficult pieces in college, and I learned from my failure as far as like performance, like getting a piece right. Often the more I played and practiced a piece, the more frustrated I became and the more I failed. And I started to learn to walk away, to get up, be done practicing and walk away. And more times than not, when I went back to practice, that piece would just come right out of my fingers and it would just flow. I'm not kidding you. So I learned like, oh, I'm getting annoyed. It's time to walk away. So I recommend that to you as well, as far as piano and bread and gardening, maybe you just need to take a step back. So enjoy your journey. Enjoy the fun of failure. And let me know what you're learning from this. Find, you know, as you're going through an experience, what are you seeing? How are you feeling? If you're feeling kind of grumpy, can you change it? Can you try to find something funny? So I also invite you to come and join my free Facebook group. It's called Joyfully Prepared. So you can go just to Facebook and type in Joyfully Prepared and come through that way. You can also go to the link www.joyfulprepgroup.com and come through that way. lovely people in that group. Absolutely lovely people in that group. And we would love for you to come and join us. Well, I hope you enjoy your day and that you will enjoy the fun of failure.
Thank you so much for listening to Joyfully Prepared. I'm grateful for you and appreciate you inviting me into your life. Please subscribe and tell all your friends about this delightful podcast. Leaving a joyful review would earn you all sorts of karma points too. I invite you to join my free Facebook group at www.joyfulprepgroup.com and join with other like-minded mothers.